Good morning, everybody. Yeah, I've got that nice nasal sound going this morning, don't I? It was even worse last Sunday, but it's a blessing to be here this morning. It's good to see y'all smiling faces. I missed seeing you the last Sunday morning, but you didn't want me here, I promise. I wanted to be here, but I didn't need to be here. Hope everybody's had a great week. It's been a beautiful week, and the Lord has blessed us in a lot of ways. We have a lot to be thankful for. But just being able to be here this morning is something to be that we should give thanks for and never ever take it for granted, as there are places in the world right now as we speak where it's probably a challenge for Christians to even be able to get together. So we should be thankful that we live in a land where we're able to get together like this and not have to worry about anything from the outside coming in and crashing our assembly or making it dangerous for us to be able to assemble together on this first day of the week. About the most dangerous thing to have to face coming in here is the Sunday morning traffic on I-44, if you're coming down I-44. But other than that, we're pretty blessed, folks. We really are. So we'll start class with a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right into the lesson. I intended last week to finish the lesson that we're going to do this morning. I wasn't able to. Thank you to John for filling in on short notice. And y'all are blessed to have somebody. We're blessed to have somebody like John who can step in at a moment's notice and be able to teach class for us. So that's a good thing. But as far as prayer requests, yeah, Chase. Okay. Okay. Yep. Yes, Anne. Yes. Okay. All right. Yeah, Connie. Okay. Alan and Carol McCann, in case you couldn't hear that. I guess they are going to be moving them into a nursing home tomorrow. Just Carol, okay. Just Carol tomorrow. So we need to be remembering the McCanns in our prayers. Anybody else? All right. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you, Father, thankful for this first day of the week, for the beauty of the morning, for the sunshine, for the blue skies, for the season of fall. Father, we're thankful for your creation and how it reminds us of how great and awesome you are. And Father, how much you love us and know that we as human beings were the crowning achievement of your creation. Father, we thank you for that. Father, help us to always remember how important we are to you. Help us to remember that we are created in your image and that you love us and care for us and have done everything possible to make it so that we can have a right relationship with you through your Son. Father, we're thankful that for this time that we can assemble together to study from your word. Father, help us to do so in a way that's pleasing in your eyes. We pray that the things that are said will be pleasing and in accordance with your will. Father, help us to learn things about you that help us to draw closer to you and to help us to be better servants in your kingdom. Father, there are those who are in need of prayer at this time. Father, we do pray for those around the world who are dealing with terrible situations, whether they be from natural causes or from the evil desires of men. Father, we pray that you'll be with those innocent people who are in the paths of those things and be with them and protect them, Father, and take care of them. Father, we pray that the evil in the world will be defeated and that ultimately righteousness and justice will prevail. Father, we pray that you be with the family that Ann mentioned this morning, with the young man who was in an accident riding a skateboard and was hit. And Father, we pray that you be with him, be with the caregivers who are attending to him, and give them the wisdom that they need to make the best decisions on his behalf. Father, be with his family and give them comfort during this time. Father, help them to look to you for comfort and for peace. And Father, we pray that you'll be with their church family and help them to be a source of support and comfort to them at this time as well. Father, we do thank you for your Son. We're thankful for the hope that we have in him. Father, we are truly blessed to be your children. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Okay, so it's Sherry's. Okay, Sherry's husband. Okay, who has cancer. So, in case you didn't hear that, need to remember to pray for Chase's friend Sherry, her husband who has cancer. So if you all would keep that in your prayer requests as well. All right. So I guess it's been, well, not last this past week, but the week before. Melinda and I, we took our annual pilgrimage to Current River. And we like to go there because it's a place where there's no cell phone service, there's no Wi-Fi, there's no email, there's nothing of that type. And I see some of you saying, oh, I can never go there. I think that's what heaven's going to be like, personally. I don't think it'll matter anymore at that point. And while you're there, honestly, it really doesn't matter. Because there were a lot of things going on in the world during that time that we were unaware of. Right or wrong, I don't know. But we were happier, quite honestly, not knowing about some of the things that were going on. One night we were sitting around the campfire and didn't have the TV on. There was no radio to listen to or anything like that. So what do you do when you're in a place like that and you just got a nice campfire? Well, you sit and you listen to the sounds of nature. One night we were sitting there, and off on the hillside there, kind of adjacent to us, was a couple of hoot owls that struck up a conversation. One would call, and the other would answer. And boy, before long, they were just making all kinds of racket. I don't know what they were saying, but they were having a good time. Yeah, they were saying who, I guess. They were saying more than who. I can't duplicate, can't repeat what they said, but nevertheless, I promise you, they understood what they were saying to each other. So let's bring that to a more, something that is probably even a little closer to what we're going to be talking about this morning. So the picture on the screen, I've had several guesses about what that picture represents. Had a guess that it was either Baptist or Mormons. And I've had guesses that it is the United Nations. Anybody else want to posit a guess as to what that might be? What's that? Congress? Is that, yeah, well, okay, yeah, okay. So y'all are pretty much on target. It's not Congress. It's not the Baptists or Mormons. But it is the United Nations. And so one of the things I want you to notice, if you can see the fellow down here in the lower right-hand corner of the screen, He has headphones on there. If you can see that far, okay. Now, what is it? Do you think he might be listening to in his headphones? Is he listening to the Yankees game? Okay, what they're saying, he can hear it in his language. So there are people sitting up at the front of the room who are speaking. And who knows what language they're speaking in. But nevertheless, the fellow that's sitting down there at the bottom, and there are a number of other people in the picture as well who are also wearing headphones. But the whole idea is that they're able to hear what is being said in their particular language. Okay, so file that away, because we'll come back to that in just a little bit. So if you remember from a couple of weeks ago, we started on looking at the book of Joel, one of the minor prophets, and we talked about Joel and how Joel is... We don't know anything about Joel. Don't know for sure when he lived. Not for sure about the time frame for the book. But we do know what the message of the book is. And the message of the book is timeless. Regardless of the time and place that it was written, it's still timeless, and it fits very well within what the messages that are presented by all the other prophets in the Old Testament. And so therefore it is completely reasonable for Joel to be part of the canon of the Old Testament. Now, the key passage that we're going to look at this morning in the book of Joel, and you can be turning there if you'd like, is in Joel chapter 2, starting in verse 28. And I think in a minute you'll recognize this passage. But if you recall, when we started this study, talked about how we were going to look at things from high altitude, and then we were going to look at things on the tarmac at the Springfield Airport. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to be on the tarmac at the Springfield Airport after we've been on a flight from anywhere in the world back home. I have to excuse me. So let's look at what Joel writes here in verses 28 through 32. So it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls." So now that we've read that, turn over to Acts chapter 2. Over to Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 16 through 21. Okay, of course, here in Acts chapter 2, this hopefully is a familiar passage to everyone. It's the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. And just prior to this, Jesus has ascended into heaven, and he has told the apostles in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, "He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" And I think that's an important passage. Those are important words for us to keep in mind when we're looking at the context of Acts chapter 2. Because the apostles are where they are because Jesus has told them to be there. And so in Acts chapter 2, we have Peter. They're all together in one place. And it tells us that they're all together in one place when a sound like a mighty rushing wind appears, and divided tongues as a fire rested on each one of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Devout Jews from everywhere were in Jerusalem and were bewildered because they heard Galileans. Of all people, they heard Galileans speaking in their native languages, and they were amazed. Some, however, said that the apostles and disciples must be filled with new wine. And so Peter, standing with the other apostles, speaks to the crowd in their defense, and quotes now from Joel chapter 2. So it says, "But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what translation of the Bible was Peter reading from when he quoted that? The original one. He was getting it straight from the source, I believe, wasn't he? I think he was getting that from the Holy Spirit. What do y'all think? They were not blessed to have the scriptures, have copies of Bibles, printed copies of the Bible, like what we have today. Was Peter a learned man? Was he an educated man? No, not at all. He was a fisherman. You know, I mean, what do fishermen do? They fish, they catch little fish and tell big stories, right? That's what fishermen do. But in this case, Peter wasn't telling a big story. He was telling the story. And so he quotes Joel chapter 2. And so, if you have read Joel chapter 2 in your Bible reading before, and you had never ever for some reason never read Acts chapter 2, well, now you know what Joel was talking about. We just went from flying over Springfield at 30,000 feet to sitting on the tarmac at the airport, and you can see what Springfield looks like now. Peter says, this is what this passage means. This is the fulfillment of that passage. Now, he says that, you know, that the pouring out of the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of the passage. Now, it's interesting because, you know, some people would point out that there are some differences between what Peter says and what Joel says. And one of the things that is mentioned is Peter says, and in the last days. And I think that has significance. It has huge significance. Because he says, and in the last days, if you remember back in Joel says, it will come to pass afterward. Okay, so Joel says, this is going to happen, folks. This is what's going to happen. I can't tell you when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Peter says, it's happening right now. This is it. In case you were wondering, this is it. Now, that's an important thing. You know, and so what Joel says, it carries the same concept as the last days. If you look at Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2, and then also Micah chapter 4 and verse 1, Peter is not abusing what Joel said here. In fact, he is clarifying what Joel meant by that. It says, this is the last days. So the last days, in this case, does not refer to a short period of time just before the end of the world. But really, folks, it describes the beginning of the Christian era. Because these are the last days before the end of time. OK? because time will end when our Lord comes back. There will be no age after this one ends. Now, it's interesting because if you remember in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, it's a long time ago, Bill, that we started that study of Hebrews. But if you remember in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, the writer of Hebrews says, "But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world." So if we need to know what Peter's talking about with the last days, well, there it is, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. And so that's an important thing for us to keep in mind. Now, it says, in the passage that we read, it says, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." Well, the pouring out of the Spirit refers to the Spirit being sent by the Father. And this is what Jesus promised to the apostles in Acts chapter 1, in verses 4 through 8. Remember what I read? Jesus tells them then, he says, "You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." You know, and you know, you have to... Yeah, the apostles, you know, when Jesus said things like that, you know, they didn't always understand what he meant as far as the time frames that he was talking about, did they? They weren't always clear, you know, and so it's like, you know, Jesus says, "Not many days from now." Well, how long is that? Y'all have had kids and you've taken road trips before. How many of your kids have ever asked you how much longer? Uh-huh. Yeah. And you know, there are times, honestly, folks, in life where even as adults, we may even ask God, "How much longer?" How much longer? And yet, did the apostles get their answer? How much longer? Yeah, they did. It was answered on the day of Pentecost. And there are questions that we ask God that don't know, we may not get the answers to at this point. Someday we will get those answers. And one of those questions may be, how much longer? And so, you know, but Jesus tells him, he says, "Not many days from now, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And he says, "You will be witnesses, be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria," and where? "To the end of the earth." Now, obviously, as far as we know, none of the apostles, I don't think they ever made it to Missouri. But how did what they say make it here? Made it here through their words, didn't it? Which are recorded in Scripture. That were recorded by men like Luke through the inspiration of whom? The Holy Spirit. And through the work of of other men down through history who made it possible for the Word to be printed. And ultimately now today, you can read the Bible, you can read the Scriptures in just about any language that you want to read it in. But they didn't have that convenience on the day of Pentecost. And so how was it that the message that Peter had to share with people, how was it that they were going to communicate it with them? How were they going to do that when they're just fishermen? There's only one way. That was through the Holy Spirit. And when they spoke, what amazed the people about what they spoke? Was it I don't understand what he's saying. Is that what it was? Sometimes I think of, I'm showing my age here. Any of y'all ever see the cartoon Go Go Gophers? Okay, cartoon Go Go Gophers. One of them, he would say things, but you could never understand what it was he was saying. And the question always was, what did him say? And so then the other one would interpret and say, this is what he says. Well, in a lot of ways, that's sort of what we have going on here on the day of Pentecost, is it not? Because what amazed the people about what the apostles did? What amazed them? Okay, they were speaking in tongues. They were speaking in their languages. Most of the accounts and commentators I read indicate that there were probably people there from at least 15 different countries. Now, I'm lucky to speak English plainly, let alone trying to speak another language plainly. I can understand a few things just because I know a little bit of Latin, more pig Latin than Latin, but I know Latin. But it amazed the people who were present that day because they could clearly understand what these fishermen from Galilee were saying to them, and they could hear it very plainly and clearly in their own language. There's no other explanation for their ability to do that than the Holy Spirit. So what were the effects of this? Well, Joel's prophecy only began to be fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. There were others we read about later in the New Testament who also received miraculous power. But they received that miraculous power through the laying on of the apostles' hands. They were not baptized. They did not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, in other words, they did not, when they were baptized, the Holy Spirit didn't come on them and they didn't immediately start speaking in tongues or being able to do any other kind of miracles. Scriptures are very, very clear about this. I mean, turn over to Acts chapter 6 and verse 6, for example. Of course, in Acts chapter 6, this is when the seven men are chosen to serve, and they chose seven men, and it tells us in verse 6, says, "These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them." And it's interesting because then if you look over in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy. Sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, not 2 Peter. Of course, Timothy was a special person to the Apostle Paul. And Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Okay? So I think it's important for us to understand that the apostles received this power through the Holy Spirit. Anyone else in the New Testament who had the ability to do this was able to do so because the apostles laid their hands upon them and gave them that gift. Now, Peter also talks about visions. Y'all think of any instances in the New Testament where visions were recorded? How about Peter while he's standing on a housetop in Joppa? What was that vision? Was that a vision? Or was it just bad dinner that he had? No, it was a vision. And what was the vision about? Clean and unclean foods, but ultimately that vision led him where? To the household of Cornelius. Now, and then the Apostle Paul also had a vision on his second missionary journey at Troas. Now, hopefully everybody's familiar with Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Depending on the translation that you're reading from, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the very last phrase of Acts of verse 38, well, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Well, the gift of the Holy Spirit is a subject that there's been lots of debate about. Even in the Brotherhood, about what it means. All I'm going to say about it is this, is that I think it means that all Christians, everyone who's baptized, has the spirit dwells in them. But that is not to say that we are receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. What the apostles received was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. It is proof of the inheritance that we have been given in Christ. Bill, you look like you want to say something. Yes.
Gift of the Holy Spirit brings strength and fruit.
Yes. Yep. I think that's a good way to put it. Now, you know, it's interesting because, guys, this passage in Acts chapter 2, I mean, this is this is one of the key chapters, the key parts of the scriptures for our faith. And I think it should be encouraging to us to see Peter quote from the Old Testament prophet Joel, but yet he says this is the fulfillment of what Joel said. You know, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder that, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but I think we're all this way sometimes. Sometimes we wonder, I think sometimes we doubt whether God really means what he says or not, whether he's going to keep his promises, because things don't happen in the time frame that we would like to see them happen in. We get impatient, and we can't see the picture that God can see. And yet, I take encouragement from seeing the fulfillment of something that Joel said and wrote hundreds of years earlier, seeing that come to pass. And that should be something that all of us get encouragement from. You know, I guess just very quickly in closing, a couple of things about the book of Joel that I think we should all keep in mind. First of all, the book of Joel itself, guys, it is a reminder of the seriousness of obedience for those who live in covenant relationship with the Lord. If you remember, Israel had been instructed that their decision to obey the Lord's command was a matter of life and death in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15. They were given that instruction before they entered the promised land. But it was their unfaithfulness to that covenant that had brought the covenant curses of famine and deprivation, just as Moses had warned. You know, and that's one of the very powerful lessons that we learn by studying about Israel, about studying the Old Testament, is we see very human people. We see people just like us. And we see the things, see that the times that where they struggled, we see the times when they were victorious. And folks, we're no different than they are. So the history of Israel provides a powerful illustration of the spiritual principle of sowing and reaping. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. But the other important thing about Joel that you see in the book of Joel is we see God's mercy creates hope. Gives us hope. Because in Joel, God responds to the repentance of his people by blessing them to overflowing. And he promises he will come confront evil in all nations in a future day of the Lord, and his people will enjoy the security of the Lord's protection and abundant blessings. I think we enjoy that today as Christians. We can be secure in knowing that we enjoy God's promises even today. And that we can enjoy his protection, and we we do receive abundant blessings every day. Next week, this is your homework for next week, is to read the book of Micah. All of 7 chapters. So if you start today, that means you've got 1 chapter a day. You should have it read by next Saturday, and you'll be ready for class next Sunday morning. Okay? So I'd like for everybody to read the book of Micah. Because, you know, Micah was a prophet who foretold a world without warfare, where absolute justice prevails, and God's people preach a message of peace. What lovely and contemporary thoughts those are. Thank you all for your attention this morning.